Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, Aaron Flint here. Great to be with you, man. I got to take some photographs here. Maybe when Commander and Congressman Ryan Zinke gets into his office here, he's running around from to meeting after meeting after meeting. But when he gets back here to his office, I'll have to snap some photos here. What a backdrop, though. I was telling some of his staff here that I feel like we're in a museum almost, because he's got all of his Navy SEAL memorabilia. He's got a lot of his memorabilia from his time spent as Trump Interior Secretary, and of course all sorts of great Montana mementos here as well. But yeah, we are broadcasting live from inside the congressman's office itself. His staff are in a couple of the offices right next door to us, and big thanks to them for hosting us here this morning. I've already got a head start. I've got a head start this morning. I've gotten a chance to catch up with Montana Senator Steve Daines. In fact, right now, he is, I believe, in committee, because they are moving forward Elise Stefanik's nomination to be U.N. ambassador. She's a President Trump appointee to be U.N. ambassador. They just voted to confirm Marco Rubio as Secretary of State last night, and I just saw a news alert that Marco Rubio has now been sworn in. Other nominations are moving forward here this morning, so they are aggressively taking action to get President Trump's team in place. So I caught up with Senator Steve Daines. I also caught up with Senator Tim Sheehy. I'll play that, both of those conversations for those of you who are just tuning in with us. I'll play those later on in the morning. And then, of course, Congressman Zinke will join us later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show as well. I've been running into a ton of great Montanans who are here for President Trump's inauguration. And so as I'd run into different folks, I said, hey, come on, join us. You know, just like when I take the show on the road and we open up the microphones, or just like when I'm back in studio and we take callers that call in on the phone lines. Well, today I've just been inviting some of the Montanans that I run across. Hey, come join us from Congressman Zinke's office. So I think Chris Ingot with Concerned Veterans for America, Montana, I think he's going to be popping into the office at some point soon. And then also, we might have Representative Carrie Seekins Crow drop by. We ran into her at the state capitol in Helena last Friday, and she was here for President Trump's inauguration, so she may be dropping in to see us. Plus, hey, we're going to have John Jackson, the Joker from X. Normally, he joins us at this very hour every Tuesday in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. He's already on the ground in Vegas. That's where we will be for the next 3 days of shows, at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. But I also want to get John's take on President Trump's inauguration, all of the speeches, the ceremonies, the executive orders already being signed, and much more. So we'll see if we can sneak on the Joker from X here with our live show, broadcasting live from Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., sponsored by Yellowstone Family Dental. See why people come from all over the Northwest for the most advanced and respected dental office for dental implants. Go to MontanaDentalImplants.com.
Securing America.
As the country transitions from one presidential administration to the next, the military does too. Deputy Director of Washington Headquarters Service, Robert Salissas, has been named Acting Secretary of Defense, as the Senate has not yet decided on Pete Hegseth's nomination to lead the DOD. A former U.S. defense official tells Fox Salissas has been at the Pentagon forever and is well-respected. President Trump also vowed to strengthen the military during his inaugural address Monday.
Our armed forces will be freed to focus on their sole mission, defeating America's enemies.
And announced a chance for former troops to rejoin the military.
I will reinstate any service members who were unjustly expelled from our military for objecting to the COVID vaccine mandate.
8,400 service members were originally discharged. Kevin Redskin, Fox News.
Coming up on Tuesday's Montana Talks, we are broadcasting live from Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., the day after President Trump's inauguration as 47th President of the United States. We should have the entire congressional delegation join us at some point. Plus, you never know who else might show up with Montana Talks live from Capitol Hill, sponsored by Yellowstone Family Dental. It's going to be some great coverage. Stay tuned. Tuesday's Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself? Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Monday. Wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I've got some highlights from the Trump War Room on X. I'll tell you what, trying to follow the Trump War Room on X over the last 24 hours, you got to go deep to find the inauguration speech highlights from yesterday, because Donald Trump, he started rocking and rolling yesterday morning and he didn't stop until late last night. This man is unstoppable, I tell you what. So I want to get to some of those highlights if we've got some time here later this hour. That'll be a good opportunity to catch up with our friend John Jackson, who is already on the ground in Las Vegas while we're back here in Washington, D.C. Hey, it was great to run into our friend Chris Ingett, who heads up Concerned Veterans for America, Montana. Got to see him at the watch party yesterday. He's now joining us at Congressman Zinke's office this morning. Chris, good to see you, my friend.
It's great to see you, Aaron. It's great to see you outside of the studio and here and out in the field where you're constantly doing radio shows. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's great to be here, man. What a moment. What a time in history to be here, especially for our military and for our veterans. There's a lot to fix. There's a lot to do.
Absolutely. And Trump really brought that up, that we really have to look at our military and start putting our military back at the focus. And so we really look forward to working with this administration to protect our military, to put our military back where they need to be and not constantly be putting them in endless wars. And we need to end the endless wars. And that idea that when they come home broken, you know, we really are looking forward to what we can accomplish this next year just in VA healthcare reform to put veterans back at the focus of their healthcare and put them back in charge of their healthcare.
You know, I'm really excited. Pete Hegseth to serve as Secretary of Defense. His nomination cleared the committee last night. Tim Sheehy was one of the 14 votes in support against the 13 Democrats against. But that nomination should come up on the Senate floor maybe later this week. You know, of course, Chuck Schumer is going to try to play the games that he's still able to play. But I'm excited to see that move forward. You know, CVA, you guys have worked so closely on things like the Mission Act and more, you know, choice for veterans in healthcare. You got a lot accomplished during President Trump's first term. And now I think he's going to be even more focused and have an even, you know, more solid team behind him this go around.
Yeah, back in 2018, he signed the Mission Act into law that allowed veterans to access care outside of the VA. And so we're really looking forward to working with this administration to have complete the mission. The VA has worked tirelessly to try to pull back on these regulations that have made it very difficult for veterans to get the care that they need, when they need it, and how they need it. We're hearing from veterans all across the country that are being diagnosed with cancer and in 7 months still haven't seen an oncologist. And we just can't wait for appointments like that. And then mental health care, same thing where you're waiting 7, 8, 9 months to get a mental health appointment. And when you're a veteran in crisis, these are our brothers and sisters. We can't be making them wait that long just to get a mental health appointment. That's why we have suicide rates that are so high. And so I really think with Complete the Mission, we codify the access standards. So the access standards, those 21 days for primary care appointments or mental health appointments, 28 days for specialty care, codifying those standards to ensure that the VA can't pull back on that anymore. The veteran knows what their right is, and if they need care in the community, they're going to have care in the community.
In fact, just before you walked in here, we had Senator Tim Sheehy in the House. I believe right now he is in committee with Doug Collins, who is President Trump's nominee for VA secretary. So it looks like they're getting ready to move his nomination forward here right now as we speak.
Yeah, and I think the reality is, like, the time is ripe to put veterans back the focus. And not just veterans, the military. If we truly want to honor the sacrifice of the men and women who are serving, then we need to only send them in places that they absolutely need to be in. We can't be sending them all across the globe to be the world's police, putting them in danger. You know, we got troops in Iraq. We got troops in Syria. We're not accomplishing anything in these locations. At what point in time do we actually look at what we're trying to accomplish, what we're trying to do, and make the decision we're not doing what we set out to do? We need to revamp this, or we need to just bring our troops home. And I think that that's a situation that we're going to start seeing is actively looking at what we're engaging on and being much more realistic about where we engage globally.
You guys did some great things last year where you hosted town hall meetings with members of Congress and veterans across Montana. And then oftentimes you're coming back here just like you're here right now. You're going to be here for a few more days, as I understand it, actively engaging with Capitol Hill to get pro-veteran legislation across the finish line. Other veterans out there, if they want to be a part of your mission, sometimes there's opportunities for them to be a part of the same things, right?
Absolutely. If they have had struggles with the VA and they want to be a part of the solution and actually come to the table and try to make the system work better the way it's supposed to work, putting veterans back at the front of the line and saying your life matters and what happened to you in the military, we're going to take care of that. We're going to put you back together because we want every American to live a life that's fulfilling and prosperous. But you can't do it if you can't even get a mental health appointment or you can't get into the VA to get fixed after the government broke you. And so if you absolutely want to participate in that and be a part of it, we love to bring all of this information, this knowledge. We don't just kind of hoard it and then say, do this. We're putting it in front of our legislators and we're sitting down with them and sharing, this is what's happening in your district. All of the rules that the VA is following or not following, this is what it looks like on the ground, and this is how veterans across Montana are suffering. And we make sure that they know as these legislations come up, this is what it's going to do for the veteran, and this is how it's going to benefit.
And then what else I love about your efforts and your organization is that you are the Concerned Veterans for America Montana chapters, meaning that, like, you're not just fighting for veterans' benefits and, you know, taking care of veterans on the healthcare front. You're fighting for America.
Absolutely.
Freedom and prosperity, the very freedom and prosperity that we went to fight for, you know, on top of just, you know, all this other stuff. So
absolutely.
Chris Engett, great to see you. Thanks for dropping by our remote office on Capitol Hill. Well, a couple Army guys are occupying the Navy SEAL's office right now.
That's
so,
it.
we should have brought an Army flag to plant in here.
We definitely should have. Next time.
Or leave him a reflector belt just for fun. All right, good to see you.
Thanks, Eric.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
If there's anything we can all agree on about inflation, it's this. People, especially voters, hate it. Those in elected offices learned that lesson the hard way last year. But why it happened and how to avoid it in the future is something that elicits surprising levels of disagreement to this day. Many who voted last November saw it very plainly. Inflation was the fault of leadership. Specifically, the slowness with which the Federal Reserve reacted to a rapid escalation of prices and the huge amounts of stimulus pushed out the door by Congress and signed by two different presidents. But the fact that every other major economy has its own bout with inflation at the same time at least raises the possibility that other explanations exist. It was, in the jargon of economics, a severe supply shock, shutting down air cargo, keeping workers in their homes, closing schools, spikes in demand, emptying store shelves. This near universal lockup in trade affected everyone, but many countries made the same mistakes as we did as well. I'm Patrick Berkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Washington state lawmakers are hoping to create gun-free zones. And if some get their way, those gun-free zones would include every public building, every fairground, every park and playground. And that would include for those lawfully carrying. But it seems like some legislators in Washington State Senate are putting the brakes on what Second Amendment advocates say is a very sweeping bill that is curbing gun rights. The amendment to the bill carves out an exception for lawful concealed carry permit holders. Washington State is a so-called shall-issue state and is not a constitutional carry state, meaning a permit is required for concealed carry. The amendment's proponents argue concealed carry permit holders only account for maybe 1/25th of Washington State's homicide rate and that they should have this exemption. The amendment has some bipartisan support. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right. Yeah, I think John Jackson is on the phone with me right now. It just connected. I said, okay, stand by. Actually, what the heck? I was going to play some highlights from the Trump war room of, you know, some of the executive order signings yesterday, President Trump's remarks yesterday. And I'm sure some of you are like, which remarks? He was giving speeches all day. The guy is unstoppable. Let's go to John Jackson, the Joker from X. He's normally with us here in this hour every Tuesday. But, John, are you at the poker table already, or did you take a break for us?
I was taking a break for you. You know, it's 7:20 in the morning out here, so I haven't gotten to gambling yet. But I'll tell you, Aaron, just like I said, the morning after the election back in November, I will say it again right here this morning. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty we are free at last.
Man, I tell you, you sound like you go to that church in Detroit with Pastor Lorenzo Sewell. What a prayer he gave. And I mean, especially for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, to talk about an America where we stop judging people by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. We're just going back to basic, good old American common sense. But I tell you what, you talk about free at last. Man, when I heard Fox and Friends say former President Biden on the air earlier this morning, I was like, oh, that sounds so good. But wow, what a powerful day. Nonstop yesterday, huh?
It was really hard. You know, I was traveling part of the day, and it was really hard to keep up with. And even when I got here and got settled in, you had President Trump, you know, getting inaugurated. Then he goes over to the Capitol arena, and then he's coming back to the White House, and then he's going out to the balls and all the parties all over D.C. And every stop, at every turn, he's making big news, big pronouncements, and also talking about different executive orders. I mean, just major, major stuff. It was an absolute whirlwind.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it was, what, 8, 9 o'clock last night. I'm getting some, you know, updated content on our Montana Talks website, photos, videos, pictures, everything that I'm seeing here in D.C. So it's all on our Montana Talks website now. And by the way, all this coverage brought to you by Yellowstone Family Dental, which is really Montana's premier center for dental implants. People travel from all over the U.S. and the Northwest to get their dental implants done at Yellowstone Family Dental. So you can go to MontanaDentalImplants.com. But yeah, I'm actually in Congressman Ryan Zinke's office right now on Capitol Hill. I've already gotten a chance to catch up with both senators. I'm going to play some of those conversations later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. But yeah, it was like 8 or 9 o'clock last night. And here's President Trump signing more executive orders, order after order. And he did it with cameras live in front of him and was doing an impromptu press conference while he is signing all of these executive orders. I mean, what a night and day difference from the last regime.
And like you're saying, the beauty of it is, as he did some of those right in front of the press, and as he just a piece at a time dismantled not only the deep state, but the communist left and all of their agenda items just right in their faces. I was loving it. You know, from energy to the border, he's now declaring the drug cartels as foreign terrorist organizations, which has never been done. It's just an awesome thing to do.
Had to be music to your ears.
All over the place, making those moves at every point. He's now put a 90-day moratorium on all foreign aid to all countries in the world, and every single country will be reviewed case by case. I love it.
And I was grabbing a steak and some veggies because I'm still doing my Billings last diet tune-up. So I had a great little steak and some veggies for dinner sitting at the bar at the hotel last night watching the coverage as well. There was a big screen set up there. And a lady that was sitting next to me says, I hear parts of the border are already shutting down. I think it was the El Paso sector. They shut down already immediately after President Trump took office, at least what I saw in the Trump war room last night. But, yeah, it had to be music to your ears as a retired federal law enforcement officer hearing the cartels labeled a terrorist organization. I'm sure retired General Paul Vallely in Big Fork is like, yes, because he's been preaching that for some time now. One of my favorite lighter moments, too, was here's President Trump back in the Oval Office. He's got his coin collection. He's got his family photos already behind him in the Oval Office. And he's signing these executive orders. And Peter Ducey throws out a question. Peter Ducey says, Mr. President, did President Biden leave you a letter? You know, this is customary for the outgoing president to leave a letter for the incoming president. And I'll bet he did. But I haven't seen it yet. And I'll bet it's probably in the desk. And he opens up the desk drawer. Ooh, there it is. He's like, should I read the letter now? And Peter Deuce is like, yes, please, Mr. President, read the letter now. He's like, I probably better wait. I probably better wait on that one. But, it was hysterical.
Oh, I wish he would have. I wish Trump would have opened that right there because it's probably Joe drawing crayons. He used crayons to draw himself a stick figure. Here is me leaving the White House, me and Jill. Yeah.
Oh, exactly.
Words of wisdom, you think he wrote Trump in that letter. I mean, and of course, he goes out then yesterday, just like he lived his entire presidency in absolute disgrace, pardoning cop killers, pardoning his whole family, pardoning all the bad actors in his administration. Yeah, just disgraceful.
Except Colonel Cupcake Vindman didn't get a pardon. Oh, sorry, pal.
Oh, yeah. And you know who else didn't get one was Alejandro Mayorkas.
Yeah.
Did not get one.
What a stab in the back there by Biden, huh? Well, hey, John, speaking of words of wisdom, we're going to get 3 days full of words of wisdom from John Jackson. He's already in Vegas. I'll get there later tonight. 3 days of live coverage from the SHOT Show starting tomorrow. Look forward to seeing you down there, my friend.
All right, sir. Sounds good. Looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah, all right. Well, we've got another great guest stepping up to the microphone here. Yeah, John, thanks again for freeing up some time here early this morning, especially Vegas time. It's only 7:30 there right now. But, yeah, we'll see you starting tomorrow morning if I don't catch up with you later today. A lot to get to here this morning. Friday morning, it was great. One of the state legislators that joined us on the microphone with our live show from the Montana Capitol, she's now with us here at the U.S. Capitol. Representative Carrie Seekins-Crow out of Billings. Representative Crow, Carrie, good to see you.
It's so good to be here, Aaron. What an honor to not only be in our nation's capital, but to see President Trump finally take office, the oath of office yesterday, and then also to be here with friends, people who are like-minded and are great patriots such as yourself. So what an honor. Thank you very much.
You've got a big security guard here.
I brought my own security. In fact, cool story, 34 years ago, we got married here on East Capitol at the Baptist Church. Yes, and so we took a picture yesterday. we met here in Washington, D.C. March 17th and won a little pubs on Pennsylvania Avenue. And 34 years later, we were...
He was a young Marine back then, wasn't he?
It was kind of funny. We were seeing some of the young Marines on the walking by, and he goes, I used to look like that.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Yeah, it was the same way for me. Like, when you see the great law enforcement and the soldiers that are out there, the National Guard troops, you know, it's so fun to see them and just thank them for their service. Yeah. And I see a group of sergeants there, and I could recognize the patch because so I said, hey, are you guys from Montana? They're like, no, we're from Idaho. Well, they're with the 116th Brigade, which the 163rd in the Montana National Guard, they wear the same patch. We always called it the infantry battalion back in the day, but now it's more of a combined arms. But so it was fun seeing those Idaho guys because they wear the same patch that I once wore when I was in the 163rd. So it's so fun seeing that. But then I got to talking to them, and I'm thinking, these guys, they're sergeants. They've been around for a little while. I'm like, oh, I forget how long it's really been since I first joined the military.
Yeah, we were kind of adding up the years and realizing. But it was really fun to stop by, take pictures, look at 8th and 9th Marine Barracks where he was stationed. But just another thing is that we got married November 17th, and then he left very shortly after that for Desert Shield at the time. And, of course, January, Desert Storm started. So that's how we started our relationship, was with him immediately going off to defend our country.
Yeah, I can see the photographs because I remember you being at, was it a parade for in support of our troops for Desert Storm? And I think we shared that on our Montana Talks website a while back during one of the big anniversaries.
It was an honor. And at that time, so they had the coming home parade here in Washington, D.C. And I don't know if it's happened since then, but at that time, they were able to fly all of the military aircraft overhead right there across the mall. So just great memories, an honor to participate as a wife with our America's military. So, and our daughter's actually in the Navy now.
That's right.
Yeah. So just... I'm grateful.
President Trump is crashing the party here with us, too. It's great. They've got a big stand-up poster of President Donald J. Trump
here. We can't let him fall.
Yeah, we can't let him. Yep, because that's the thing people love about President Trump. He stands tall and is telling the rest of this country to stand tall as well. One of the executive orders he signed is to stand up to this radical left-wing transgender agenda. And, of course, you got House Bill 121 across the finish line back in Montana last week.
Yeah.
So, cool stuff. Representative Kerry Seekins-Crow, can you stick around for a couple more minutes?
Okay. Absolutely.
All right, we got to take another quick break here on Montana Talks. We'll chat more with Representative Kerry Seekins-Crow. And then, after that, I was able to catch up with Josh Smith from the Montana Knife Company and talk about his time here for the inauguration.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. So, yeah, the audio of my conversation with Josh Smith. Caden back in studio doing a great job for us here with all of our inauguration coverage. Keep that audio on standby. I might have to save that one for tomorrow when we're at the SHOT Show in Vegas because, yeah, we've got just a great crew of folks that are coming here to join us from Congressman Ryan Zinke's office. In fact, Representative Kerry Seekins-Crow, this was cool. Just during the break, I heard the voice. He just walked in, so we got a quick photo with Congressman Zinke, and it's so gracious of him to let us use his office here. Isn't this an incredible office?
We are very, very blessed. Absolutely.
That's what's so cool is Montanans, you know, it's a pretty open door policy for people in Montana back here.
1 million neighbors. With big neighborhoods with big long streets in between, right? I mean, that's what's so great about who we are, what we represent. Our Montana values are very, very important. In fact, I would love to go to the SHOT Show with you as I did last year.
Yeah, we saw both you guys there last
year. But can't go because I've got to be back on the floor. We're going to try to get the 121, the Women's Protection and Safety Act. We're going to try to get that through the Senate here. But also, I'm going to be carrying the Women's Sports Bill. These are things that are very important. I do believe Americans said we have a mandate to protect our women, protect our children and our private spaces and where we can be vulnerable. But also, it was really good to hear the president yesterday say that there are only two sexes. And Of course, I might have given out a little cheer, or maybe a big cheer when I heard that, because that's what we're trying to accomplish in Montana. And it's not to be discriminatory. It's to support what we've always known as right, is that we must protect our women and children, and even our men, too, because we do have vulnerable spaces. And that's what this bill is all about, House Bill 121.
Yeah, in fact, I was looking at my cell phone here because I'm just going to try to play this audio right here from my phone. This was sent out via X by the Trump War Room. Thanks to President Trump, American women are hereby protected from radical gender ideology. This is the audio as President Trump was in the Oval Office signing more executive orders late last night.
Protecting women from radical gender ideologies.
Mr. President, going back to the World Health Organization, you were the president during COVID. Don't you see the importance of organization like that to coordinate?
Okay, so yeah, so he's, you can hear the marker as he is signing that executive order, and then some reporter is asking him about the World Health Organization. Yeah, because he also had a great executive order, working to pull us out of the World Health Organization, because what a train wreck. They were basically pawns of the communist Chinese pushing all this COVID craziness.
Oh, well, and that's when I first stepped onto the House floor in Montana, I knew two things. And that was January 4th, 2021. First thing I knew was I did not know what I was doing. And the second thing was I was not going to wear a face mask, because we did know that this was crazy. We did know that we were being herded like sheep into these directives that were intended to have government control over our lives. And I think Montanans do a great job of directing their own lives.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I know you've got to, hurry back to Helena with the legislative session underway. But still, such an important time to be here. Did Braxton Mitchell, Representative Mitchell, still make it out too?
He did, and also Jane Gillette, Representative Gillette, were the great ones that I knew of that came out here to witness this historic moment in time. And even though we couldn't have it outside, we were able to watch it in Senator Dane's office. You were there yesterday, and that was fun to be with a lot of Montanans on hand and just be able to celebrate no matter what that looked like when we were here.
Speaking of the COVID craziness, I'll play one clip for you here of President Trump's inaugural remarks in the Rotunda yesterday. But first, Representative Kerry Seekins-Crowe, great to see you. Thanks so much for dropping by. And again, thanks to Commander and Congressman Ryan Zinke for joining us here on the show as well. He'll be with us next hour of the program. And hey, another great VIP just walked in right now, CJ Stewart. We'll have him. I'll have you pass the headset to our friend CJ Stewart here. Always good to see him here. But Kerry, thank you so much for dropping
in. Thank you, Aaron. And boy, so good to see CJ as well out here. Another great American, great Montanan.
Well, and one of the clips I was going to play from President Trump's remarks yesterday was, of course, his remarks on unleashing American energy. And CJ Stewart is just a prominent voice on energy issues, especially tribal energy issues as well. A former member of the Crow legislative branch and now the Crow Nation energy director. CJ, great to see you, my friend.
Hey, good morning. It's so good to be here.
Yeah. What an office here, huh?
Yeah, good to see you.
You've been here before, though, I think. So.
Yeah, I've been here for a while. Well, almost 4 years working up here with Ryan and others, Senator Deans and whatnot. And so, it's good to be back. It feels, this town feels heck of a lot better. There's a lot of positive vibe,
Yeah.
I got to apologize. I kind of out of air, they had us running around here, so.
Yeah, no, I feel, yeah, well, take a seat and catch your breath if you need to. Yeah, it can be a bit of a hassle trying to find your way around Capitol Hill from time to time. Let me play, while you catch your breath here, let me play a quick soundbite here. I was talking with Representative Kerry Seekins-Crowe about President Trump and some of his executive orders and correcting some of this COVID stupidity that we saw, of course, over the last few years. Here you go. This is from the Rotunda.
This week, I will reinstate any service members who were unjustly expelled from our military for objecting to the COVID vaccine mandate with full back pay.
I
And I will sign an order to stop our warriors from being subjected to radical political theories and social experiments while on duty. It's going to end immediately.
All right. All right. And of course, there's more. If you go to x.com/Aaron Flint, you can see that full excerpt and many more that caught my eye over the past 24 hours. But yeah, back to C.J. Stewart here with the Crow Nation, the Crow Nation Energy Director with the Crow Tribe. Got to be good times ahead, I would think, for energy and the Crow Nation and really just Indian country overall, I would think.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's a breath of fresh air, you know, especially after the last 4 years, starting 2020 when Biden got on. You know, we were under attack, you know, being the largest private coal owner in the nation. You know, the Indian Energy Office, you know, was developed in 2005, and what they were established to do was to help all Indian energy. But Biden had them tasked to just help the renewable tribes, and so we were kind of put to the back burner. And there was a lot of retaliation against the tribe, and they put us under a critical high-risk no-pay because we didn't want to sign a MOU to transition away from coal with Navajo and Hopi. Hopi has they have no choice because they're an island within an island. So when Navajo signed, they kind of had to sign, and their leaders didn't like it, but they did it. And we didn't sign. I advised the chairman not to sign, you know, definitely, you know. And they asked me why. I mean, they were pretty upset. And so, I mean, it came down to, you know, I told them, I said, well, Article 5 of the United States Constitution has such a thing called the Fair Takings Clause. And if you want to just have me X out all my coal, you know, to just give me a pat on the back and a data boy, I said, that's not going to cut it. I said, because under the Fair Takings Clause, you got to pay fair market value. They didn't like to hear that because I told them, I said, well, the rule of thumb, you know, just to develop a ton of coal with, you know, on the with Westmoreland coal mine that we have there, it's going to be $8 a ton. Then on top of that, you know, there's the carbon tons, and it's at $51. So the base rate would be $110 a ton, and we haven't even assessed our rare earth elements and critical minerals there. The value, they would monetize that value into it. But I've assessed my rare earth elements on the reservation. And just for your audience sake, you know, 60% of all fossil fuels are in Indian country. 90% of all renewables, the road to renewables is through Indian country. It's in and on around Indian land.
So whether it's traditional fuels or renewable fuels, like massive potential on tribal lands.
Yeah, the tribes have massive potential, and I think everybody needs to realize that. And I know that President Trump, and I know Burgum, I know Chris Wright, they're all going to be we just now left a meeting with a good friend of ours, Mr. Rick Dearborn. He used to be deputy chief for President Trump. He was also the head of the chairman of the transition team at the time then. Mm-hmm. So he, you know, everybody's excited. They want to move. They want to move on energy. I mean, to hear Trump say "drill, baby, drill." I mean, it just opens up a lot of opportunities. And I know Burgum is good people. You know, he's out of North Dakota.
So yeah, he gets it.
They get it. I know there's folks that are opposed to the energy, but you know, everybody likes to flick the switch and know that the light's going to turn on. You know, and that's what we're providing. So we're going to catch a lot of flack for that. So people can be comfortable and have running water and good electricity and heated homes. Because right now, think about it, if you don't have no energy, look at what's going on now. I mean, I'd hate to be in a situation where we lose out.
That's right. Well, I got to take a quick break. I'm hearing the music in the background. But C.J. Stewart, if you can stick around for a few more minutes, we can catch up more after the break, if that works for you.
Yeah, you bet.
Okay, unless you got to run, you tell me. But we greatly appreciate you for coming and joining us here at Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke's office. Crow Coal, the Crow Revenue Act. I was hoping they would have gotten that done before they wrapped up last year. Where's all that sit? That and more coming up after this.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
On behalf of everyone here at this show, I can tell you we are very grateful for this day, as cold as it might be in the Capitol. I'm here till Wednesday. I can't tell you the reasons why, but I'm here till Wednesday. One of the reasons is we'll have a town hall with Mike Johnson and House Republicans on how they can stay on the same page, what their agenda needs to be successful. But it's a great day for the country. It really is. And the president's speech was phenomenal. Phenomenal. Hard-hitting, a complete and utter 180-degree shift and direction for the country, all for the better. And how anybody could be against it, I'm having a hard time understanding.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
The election is officially over, but is your money still at risk? We still have a staggering $35 trillion in debt. Interest on this debt now costs more than our entire defense budget for the first time in history. On top of that, we're still feeling the consequences of the brutal inflation we saw under Biden and the global chaos ripping across the globe. That's why thousands of concerned Americans are turning to precious metals to help hedge against these threats. And they're reaching out to the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, to make it happen. Goldco has over 6,000 five-star reviews and has helped people just like you purchase over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. Right now, they're offering a free gold and silver kit to help you diversify your savings. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your copy free of charge. Plus, you could receive up to a 10% instant match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com.
Fox rocks.
I'm Michelle Foligno, Olivia Rodrigo, Stevie Wonder, The Reunited, No Doubt, Peso Pluma, Alanis Morissette, Anderson .Paak, Dawes, Graham Nash, John Fogerty, and the Black Crowes have joined the lineup for the Fire Aid benefit January 30th at the Intuit Dome and Kia Forum in Los Angeles. For No Doubt, it'll be their third performance in nearly a decade following a reunion at the 2024 edition of Coachella. Kid Rock is hitting the road in March and April for a seven-city arena tour, which kicks off Friday, March 21st. Chris Jansen will join for all March dates. In April, Uncle Cracker will take over. Black Eyed Peas canceled its Las Vegas residency at Planet Hollywood's PH Live. Online speculation that the residency was underselling has been circulating for months. Though the group explained on social media, the cancellation was due to current circumstances. Ticket providers will issue full refunds automatically. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News. Everyone.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, quick few minutes here wrapping up this hour of Montana Talks, broadcasting live from Capitol Hill. And once again, this coverage brought to you by, and the only reason we're able to make all this coverage happen for you, bringing you to Capitol Hill for President Trump's inauguration, is thanks to Yellowstone Family Dental. Yeah, folks travel from all across the Northwest for their premier dental implant services. Go to MontanaDentalImplants.com. Congressman Ryan Zinke, I mentioned he's here at his office where we're doing the show from. He'll either kick off the 9 o'clock hour or he'll join us about halfway through. Either way, we've got a great lineup coming for you. So great to see our friend C.J. Stewart here from the Crow Tribe in the House. Your take, well, first, if you want to talk any updates on the energy front, whether it's, hey, what's next for Crow Coal, and what about the Crow Revenue Act? I was hoping they would have gotten that done during the lame duck session of Congress, but that didn't happen. So what's the status of that? But really, I think the bigger question a lot of folks are wondering is, how did President Trump do so well in Indian country, all across the country, it seems?
Well, I can't necessarily speak for all the tribes, obviously, but, you know, for the fossil tribes, you know, he's been really a champion, you know, from before. And then just to hear, you know, our president, you know, say the things he said concerning energy, it's kind of a really good shot in the arm for the tribe, because, you know, we were put in a position where we were, you know, when we were, you know, we stood our ground, you know, with that MOU, and our tribe was put into a critical high risk, no pay situation. And then we were, you know, the Biden administration had the nerve to say, hey, go get some grants. But then they put us under this critical high risk, no pay. And I explained to them, we need coal to get out of coal, because, you know, 85% of all our grants are subsidized by our general fund. And we don't have hardly any resource revenue anymore. And Westmoreland is just moving along. We have one, you know, we've lost the XL contract. And, well, they moved on to renewables. You know, we didn't really lose. It's just they moved on from coal. And I'm even thinking they're probably going to go back to coal here soon because, I mean, everybody was kind of following the renewable road. But, you know, I mean, when you really look at it and all the money that's put in for wind and solar, we don't have grid for that. And then if everybody's
going to need all the above. They're talking about AI and data centers to power AI and all that. We need everything.
Yeah.
All the above. Any kind of electricity we can take, we'll take right now, right?
Yeah, and those data centers, I mean, you can't mess with them. There can't be no glitch in that. It's just kind of like priming a pump. You can't have any glitch in the grid. And so, I mean, it's something I've always said. I'd rather go with reliables over renewables.
Yeah, I like that. Well, we've only got about a minute to go here, but I've been asking several other folks that have joined us this morning, what's the coolest thing you've seen or person you've run into or whatever, just, you know, when you get back home, back to Montana, hey, I saw this or I ran into this person.
Well, you know, I went down to the Trump Hotel, which is now the Waldorf, right? And so I walked in and I looked around and it was a lot of people there. But I turned around and walked back outside to the America First Ball. And I walked in there and they let me in. I didn't have a lanyard or nothing.
And I walked, like, we're not messing with that guy. He looks important. <Yeah.
laughs> And I walked in and they were kind of, and I walked in. And then from a distance, I seen Pam Bondi was there. I mean, Governor Sarah Huckabee was there. And other folks, you know, a lot of different, there were some celebrities there. And so I was in there for a while and then, you know, I was with my chairman. So we ended up, having to go back. We had meetings the next day too. So we had to get ready for that. So, and then of course, you know, everything's blocked off. We had to do a lot of walking.
Oh, it's crazy. I've never seen all of Pennsylvania Avenue was practically blocked off. You had to go through security just to walk across Pennsylvania Avenue, cause they were anticipating the parade. Well, CJ Stewart, great to see you, my friend. As always, thanks y'all you do for Indian Country and for all of us. Great to see you.
Yeah, appreciate you, Aaron. Thank you.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
If there's anything we can all agree on about inflation, it's this. People, especially voters, hate it. Those in elected offices learned that lesson the hard way last year, but why it happened and how to avoid it in the future is something that elicits surprising levels of disagreement to this day. Many who voted last November saw it very plainly. Inflation was the fault of leadership, specifically the slowness with which the Federal Reserve reacted to a rapid escalation of prices and the huge amounts of stimulus pushed out the door by Congress and signed by two different presidents. But the fact that every other major economy had its own bout with inflation at the same time at least raises the possibility that other explanations exist. It was, in the jargon of economics, a severe supply shock, shutting down air cargo, keeping workers in their homes, closing schools, spikes in demand, emptying store shelves. This near universal lockup in trade affected everyone, but many countries made the same mistakes as we did as well. I'm Patrick Berkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.